Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to part two of our series, More Than a Percentage. Last week, Pastor Benny shared with us a very good foundational sermon for tithing. And today, we have Pastor Jeff and Pastor Benny here to answer our questions on tithing. We invited you to send in your questions last week, and we received about more than 60 questions. We will try to answer as many as possible today, all right? So, Pastor Jeff, will you kick us off for today's Q&A segment?
Praise God. Good morning, everyone. One more time, good morning. Before I begin, I just want to take the time to really honor Pastor Benny.
Thank you, Pastor Benny.
This whole week, I saw you 4 days, you know, overdose. I don't know your appetite okay now, but I just really want to just really thank you. I want to before we start,
I
want to thank you for leading me, guiding me, being my spiritual mentor. I want to also thank you for being a light in Singapore. You know, I've been journeying around with, just hang out with him, right? The people he mixed with, right, are people that, you know, you only see on newspaper. Not the Crime Watch one, the good one, okay? The Business Times people. So Pastor Benny, God has given you so much influence because you are loving, you are encouraging, and you always serve the people. So I really want to thank you for being a part of my life and being a part of our movement, our church. Thank
My
you so
joy
much,
and
Benny.
Privilege. Thank you very
Thank you,
much.
Pastor Benny.
So kind of you.
Thank you. Pastor Benny's birthday coming up, so he'll be turning 35.
Thank you.
Waistline 35, right? Sorry,
wow. Go ahead. Okay, we're going to start the Q&A panel. First question. Many of you asked this question. Does all of the 10% tithe need to go to the local church? Can it go to other Christian causes? Example, mission agencies, Christian NGOs, or even people that need our help and support. So does all 10% need to go to the local church? Can it be split up among other different Christian causes?
As we talked about last week, the purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament is really to take care of the priestly family, because the priestly family do not work the fields like all the other tribes. And so the tithe was God's way of providing and taking care of the priestly family. Now, in the same way, the purpose of the tithe, the practice of tithing in the New Testament, is also to take care of the workers in the church. And then that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, it says that the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. If you read the context of 1 Timothy 5, you know that it's actually talking about taking care of the workers. So it's directly, I'm not postulating or extrapolating here, it's exactly talking about taking care of the workers. And then it goes on to say, for the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker is deserving of its wages. So if Hope Church is where you find your spiritual feeding, this is where you find your spiritual family, then in this way, your spiritual well-being is taken care of, then I think we should tithe, bring our whole tithe into the storehouse, the local church. As I said last week, right, if you eat in McDonald's, you don't pay in Kentucky. So you just pay in McDonald's, and it makes sense to do that. So the tithe should go to local church, but however, I am totally in agreement that we should not just limit our giving to tithing, but we should actually give to other worthy causes, especially in Christendom. And therefore, I strongly encourage that we also take offerings, you know, beyond our tithe. We take our offerings, and you are free to designate it to wherever the Lord would lead you and inspire you to give towards. Now, having said that, I want to strongly encourage, and this is because as I travel around, I also notice this, you know, that I want to encourage that for those of you who have resources to be able to channel to these worthy causes, can I encourage you to support Christian organizations and not just secular ones for two simple reasons. Number one is that there are many in the world who are able and willing to support secular causes like, you know, charities and all that. And thank God for that. And I'm not saying we should not or we cannot, but I'm saying that if you are going to prioritize, then I want to encourage you to prioritize giving to Christian causes, because then our giving can also result in kingdom impact. Okay. And secondly, the Bible also says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and that includes everybody in the world, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So in the light of those biblical exhortation, I want to encourage us, if we do prioritize giving to causes that you think about supporting Christian causes, because the 80% of the rest of the world will support all other causes, but right. only Christians right. are likely to support the Christian organization. So I encourage that.
Pastor Jeff, do you have anything to add?
I agree.
Okay, that's wonderful. Pastor Betty, can I ask you a little bit about this yeah. question? Right? Let's say if I'm not just fed in Hope Church, but I'm fed through online channels, then yes. can I split my tithe among, I receive from this Bible college, this Bible teacher, you know, or maybe Pastor Benny comes to teach a Bible seminar, hey, can I give part of my tithe to him as an offering?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I can say yes. But, but I think biblically, yeah. It is important that we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse.
Okay.
I think I will take my tithes and let it support the church,
the
local church that I belong to. But I would take my offering and I could, I suggest you give it to Pastor Benny when he comes.
You are kidding, right? No, just in case.
Just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
You please feel free to let the Lord lead you when it comes to your giving beyond the tithe.
Right. Thanks.
So I actually also practice the same thing. I do give to organizations. For example, my family supports children under Bill Wilson's
Metro.
And so we support two kids from there.
Yeah.
But that is outside of our tithe.
Okay. We're going to go to the second question. Can I give my tithe to Hope Center? And the main reason is so that for purpose of tax relief, because you know, it's like I'm gonna give to Hope Church anyway, myself get some tax relief, left pocket, right pocket, right? So what do you think? Does it work that way? Can I give my tithe to Hope Center for tax relief?
Maybe I share a little bit about for us, our understanding, the relationship between Hope Church and Hope Center. Okay, Hope Church and Hope Center are two different organizations, right? Legally. But the way we see it is like Hope Center is a department in Hope Church. Because, when it comes to good works, right, there's no end to doing good works. I tell the people in Hope Center, there's no end to doing good works. We don't ask the people to receive the bread of life before we give them gardenia bread. Everybody is entitled to gardenia bread. However, we do not only want to serve gardenia bread. We want that through gardenia bread, they will also come to a place where they eat the bread of life. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you? So if you just do good works as an end to itself, right, then after a little while, what's the difference between us and any those charity organizations who belong to other faith? Then it's no difference. Obviously, we're not going to say that unless you receive Christ, you're not going to have gardenia bread. We don't do that. We give everybody gardenia bread, but we don't give gardenia bread as an end to itself. We give gardenia bread in the front. Of course, somewhere, somehow, we hope that, hey, how come you're so kind? How come you always give me gardenia bread? You know, because we have the bread of life. That's why we give you gardenia bread. So that's what we want to do. Okay. So what happens is that the money in Hope Center, when we give to Hope Center, the money is legally bounded to do charity work. That means the money from Hope Center does not go to Hope Church. However, the money that we give to Hope Church can go to Hope Center. So I just want us to be clear on that. Yeah. Yes. So when we tie, we should tie to the church, not to Hope Center.
Pastor Benny?
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's true. If everyone were to tie for the sake of tax planning, then I think the local church would be put in a position where we are unable to take care of the workers. Okay. Because then, out of integrity, you cannot take something that is designated to Hope Center and then use it in Hope Church. Okay. That would not be right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Number three, do I need to tithe when I'm unemployed or having very low income?
I have no experience, Pastor. You have experience.
Okay. The word tithe, as we said last week, simply means 10%. Right? It simply means 10%. So whatever your income may be, we are putting aside 10% as something that we give to the local church. So it could, your income could range from $0 to $100,000. So if you earn $100,000, then we're talking about $10,000 being put aside as your tithe. So if you earn $0, so 10% of $0 would be
$0.
So that's your tithe.
Right.
So in that sense, I think that you start with what you have,
yeah,
and then you let your giving grow with your growth in income.
Yeah.
So if you're not earning anything, then you are not, you still tithe $0. That's it. So a tithe is simply a tenth.
Yep.
Yeah. So I take it that would be the case.
Yeah. So I taught this before. I said everyone can tithe. If you earn $0, you tithe 10% of $0, which is $0, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's an important thing that I want to share with us so that we can all appreciate this as a church family, right? You know that the people who started, who were with the church at the very beginning, we used to give everything. We used, like Claudia and myself, we used to broke our bank 3 times in order to give to the church building fund. Of course, we were younger and then we break our bank. It's not a lot, but we still have time to build it up. But as we discover, as the church grows, right, what's going to happen that people of my age, they will kind of a peak in their income, and then many of them will have a dip, right, because as you grow older, and then they will retire. So what happens is that the younger people right now in the student service, you know, they have to pick up the slack. Or maybe the young adults here not pick up the slack. You have to take up the responsibility of really tithing and giving to the church. So I told the student pastor, you have to teach the young people the importance of tithing. All right. Some of them may say that, now, pastor, I only got $300, $30, 安你有用, what can I do? I say, exactly, the church is not out for your money. You know, the student, 跑 student service, 跑这些小孩子的 service, 浪费钱啊, I tell them, it's waste money because, oh, you $10, not enough money to pay for the electricity, you know, now the electricity go up, all these things, right? I say, but we're not teaching that. We're teaching all the young people, all the young adults here, a principle. If you have $300, you're not willing to tithe $30, I tell the chances of you tithing 1,000 when you make 10,000 is going to be so small. But those of us who grew up when we're young, we keep tithing. So it's no issue. Either it is $30, it is $1,000. If one day I make $100,000, $10,000, it just belongs to God. It becomes a spiritual habit. So that's why it's important for us to learn this principle.
Right.
And it's important for us to inculcate in the young people, young adults here, and also the students here. I told the students, leader, you have to teach this to all the young people.
Yep.
The church is very different, if I may add. Right? Last time when we first came to church, anything you want, you got to fork out for it. I remember last time when I was new in church, the church had this thing called we're raising building fund. No? Basically, you got to go home, take all your guan tao, everything from your home, right? Then bring to the church. And then somebody got to buy a basket. Then everybody here, 出钱出力, you know, put all the guan tao, bow everything, then go and take the car, go and drive, then pump up the petrol, then the church have everything. We always say there, 有钱出钱有力出力, 没钱没力给你干垃圾, that's what we always say, right? So everybody, nothing, we wacky, right? It can't be nothing, right? So that's how we work. Then now the young people, when they come to church, what do they see? LED, big aircon, everything. So we take for granted. So yeah, we have to continue to pioneer. We have to continue to teach the people to tithe. It is such an important principle. It is not about the dollars and cents. It's about trusting God. If you cannot trust God for $30, right? If you can't trust God for just money, right, it's going to be hard to trust God for many other things in your life. So yep, a very long answer to a short question. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. What if I'm in debt? What if a situation where it's not just low income, but the person is in debt? One person wrote that they lost she lost her life savings due to a scam, and now she's making very little income now. Another person who is doing business, sometimes some months make profit, some months make loss, but overall it's making a loss. Some have big student loans to pay off. So what if a person is in debt? Should they tithe first or focus on paying off the debt completely first? What's your view on this?
Okay, let me qualify my answer by saying that we are now talking about extenuating circumstances or very exceptional circumstances where someone get into a personal debt situation. And we are not talking about regular mortgage and higher purchase and things like that, which the truth is all Singaporeans have that debt, right? They all have housing loans, they all have their car loans and all that. Now, with those kind of loans, just to clarify this, with those kinds of regular pre-planned, you know, financial undertakings that you have taken as part of your financial management, you are technically not in debt until you cannot pay your installment. Are you with me? You're technically not in debt until you cannot pay your installment. And that's why in your financial planning, we always make sure that you never take on anything that you know you cannot repay month to month. Then in that sense, then we are financially, we are good stewards by taking care of that. So we are not talking about those kind of mortgage and things like that, which you already pre-planned to be able to pay. We're talking about special situation where you end up in a difficult situation, you owe people money and all that. Now, when it comes to those kind of exceptional debt situation, you had to let the Lord guide you in terms of your personal conviction on whether should you continue to tithe while you're owning people money, or you, and if you have that, you believe that the Lord has given you that faith to believe you can continue to tithe and trust God to provide, to take care of your special circumstance, then you do it. But we are all responsible before God. But if you feel that out of responsibility, you could not do that, but you want to take care of, like you owe other people money and you want to give priority to do that, then you do it as according to your conviction.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I would see it. But we are not talking about regular debt, which we all do have. Yeah.
Got it. Next question is for Pastor Benny. God loves a cheerful giver, right? If I'm not very cheerful, I'm not very willing, right, when I give, right? Should I not give? Because, Pastor Benny, you said that last week in your sermon.
Yeah.
So, I suppose someone asked, Pastor Benny, you said, God loves a cheerful giver. So, not cheerful, then don't give, right?
Yeah, thank you for calling me out on this one. But I think you know where I'm coming from, right? What I'm trying to address here is, it's not so much stop giving since the outcome is, then I stop giving since my attitude is not right. Then what I'm actually calling for is get your attitude right so that now you can give in a right spirit. And as a result, bring joy to the Father's heart. I'm not saying, since your attitude towards giving is not so cheerful, therefore don't give. But it's the reverse. Get the attitude right, so that our giving becomes right before God. And then it brings pleasure to the heart of God. So that's where I'm coming from with this. And when we actually change our attitude and our action follows, you will experience the blessing of tithing. Really, there's amazing blessings that come with us being able to honor God with our first fruit.
I agree. It's like saying that I've been eating for all the wrong reason, I will stop eating for the rest of my life, right? Mm-hmm. So you change your reason and continue to eat.
Right. Yeah. Because everything else in our life, right, like going to church, if I don't feel like going to church, then don't go.
Correct. Yeah.
Right? If I don't feel like doing my quiet time, then I don't do it.
I've been making money for all the wrong reason, I'll stop working, I don't make money anymore.
Yeah. Mm. So it's to change the attitude.
To change the attitude, yes.
Change the attitude.
Got it. Next question. Is automated giving okay? You know, making recurring monthly standing instructions, recurring transfers from the bank. Because some say that it's important to consciously make the transfer each time. And like when they transfer, they need to feel the pain of it or the pinch of it, or they need to give thanks and worship during the transfer. When it's automated, you can't see it. So what's your view on this? Both your views.
Actually, I fully understand where the person asking this question is coming from.
Yep.
Because I also come from the old school, you know, where we literally every week, prepare our giving, put in an envelope, come to church, wait for the offering bag to come, and then we do it as an act of worship.
Yep.
And I feel really like, wow, it's very intentional, purposeful, and all that. But having experienced digital giving, I find that the advantage of that is that I'll never forget, because it's regularized already into my regular giving. And whether I travel or not, my tithe will still be rendered to the church. Mm. And that actually provides a lot of stability from the stewardship point of view for the church. And that I find to be very helpful. But being old school, I still like to feel that I am practicing the act of giving. So what I've done personally is that my tithe is regularized through digital giving, but every week I come to church, I still give my offering using either digitally, I still give on the spot as an act of worship so that I can hold the tension with both of these.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing personally. I don't know about you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks. This question not new, because last time there was some guy who said the same thing to me. He said that this whole thing about bringing money, then, you know, those days, on the first day or the last weekend of the month, right, everybody queue up, ATM,
go to ATM,
then go down there, take envelope, put the money, then save up, Jeff Chong, don't know how much money, then put. So when the person say no cake, right? So I said, really, man, no cake? Then I asked one of my staff. He said, well, I got no cake. Every time I see my money go, got cake. Can I cake out? So, in fact, after Benny said, Pastor Benny shared that, then I can understand why people do that.
Yeah.
But I was talking to a young adult, and I think one way to kind of like help us to remember, right, if you don't want to automate it, the person said, automate, then it doesn't seem like I'm intentionally giving. I said, that's fine. How about, you know, on the first, whenever you get your pay, you come to church when the thing is up, right? So you take a photo or you give on the spot.
Yeah.
So I asked the person, why don't you try that? Then you try that. Then if you try, you honestly try, then after 6 months, you discover, after 6 months, 4 months, you forget already. So then that's not a good thing.
It's no longer
about the kick. No kick is about your faithfulness. Yeah. So I think you have to automate it.
Right.
But what Pastor Benny said, Pastor Claudia and I, we automate our giving, but we set a goal. Every time we go to service, there is an amount that we will give to God.
Okay.
Every service we go to. Mm. Even when we're outside other church, whatever, we remember to give. So this Tai Li, right? The church, the SMS thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you will, both of you, your practice is like you will automate your tithing.
Yes.
But on top of that, you will give free will offering, and then that becomes part of your worship unto God.
There's still some kick.
Okay. Yeah. Who's doing the kicking, by the way?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's clear. Mm. Then the next question. If tithing is practiced willingly and not under the law, as what you explained last week, right? Mm. Is 10% then a guideline? Is 10% a baseline, or is 10% a maximum line? How do we see this 10% overall?
Do you want to go first?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Wow, what did you say? Okay. It's on the screen. If tithing is practiced willingly and not under the law, is 10% a guideline, like just a guideline or a basic, a bare minimum amount, a baseline or a maximum?
Sorry.
Yeah.
But I think what Pastor Benny shared last week was fantastic.
Mm.
He said that even though it is no longer a command, but we are living in New Testament time, Romans chapter 12, right? Bible says, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that we are recipient of the grace and the mercy of God, offer our whole lives as a living sacrifice to God. So 10% in the New Testament time, if I really receive the grace of God, it should be a minimum, a floor rather than a ceiling. So I think that's how
you agree, Pastor Betty?
Yes. That's what I always believe. Because it's like what Jesus said, right? I mean, the Pharisees who have never experienced, you know, the things that we have experienced would be so meticulous in even tithing their spices. That's how meticulous they are. How much more should we? And all of us have experienced God's love in such a tremendous way that I think the tithing becomes really the floor rather than the ceiling.
Right. I mean, as we are going through this question, it does sound like the recurring theme across is that oftentimes we restrict our total giving to 10%, right? And that's where we run into problems because, hey, what do I do with this fixed 10%? Can I give to this? But what both of you are saying and you are practicing, you are living it out is that tithing is your baseline. You tithe 10%, no questions asked. On top of that, right, you don't restrict that to your tithe, but you continue to give above and beyond this 10% freely as offering to people, organizations, churches, etc.
Yes. Because the truth is that in the New Testament, everything belongs to the Lord.
Right.
So we have now become stewards rather than owners. So we are learning to steward that which God has given to us. The whole, everything is about stewardship.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. Right. So can I say, right, that it's not just about being calculative about the 10% that I'm planning very, very well, right? Mm. But actually realizing that the whole thing belongs to God and then I'm a steward of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next question goes like this. If I receive a huge amount of once-off income, okay, that is not repeated, for example, an inheritance, for example, a retrenchment package, do I need to tithe the whole amount? And if I tithe the whole amount, right, will it mess up the church accounts? Because suddenly this huge amount comes in that will never come in again. Mm-hmm. And if so, right, should I tithe it all at once or should I tithe it in tranches and installments? Yeah. What is both your view on this?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, if you really are in that place where you have received something so extraordinary, you know, something that is above and beyond what you regularly earn, you are in a good place, okay? Just for a start. You're in a good place. And do I want to tithe the whole thing? I think that would be something that we would work towards. But as to whether there are two ways you can do it. One is you just tithe it and then don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing and then just tithe and that's it. You know, some of my members who receive this sort of extraordinary thing, they do contact the church to ask whether they could have a conversation with me to find out if there's anything that they... And to ask me whether or not this amount that they have, how can it be best utilized? So they, because of the size of the sum, they sort of want to have an idea about where, how would that affect the church if they were to come. And then that's where I would have conversations with them to find out where is the best place to channel the money and to let them know that their money is going to be well utilized. Right. So we can also do something like that.
Yeah. I'll share an example. There was once, I think a few years ago, someone out of the blue gave USD $300,000 to the church. You know? So we say, well, who is this member, man? I want to be his best friend, but we can't find this member. Then we discover, right, this person who gave is residing in the US, and this guy was a youth that was in the youth, imagine me leading the youth, that means very long ago, right? It was a youth in a youth group that I used to lead, right? I don't know how long, he left church since he was a young boy or whatever. Then he, I don't know, whatever reason, or maybe I preached so powerful sermon that 20, 30 years later, he remembered, right? So he gave $300,000, so we were kind of trace him down. Then we asked him, we said, hey, this money, thank you for giving to the church, but... we asked him, is it okay that we take this $3,000 and put it in the missions fund? Because if you put it in the operating fund, right, then it's going to mess up future operating fund because this is a one-off giving, $300,000 USD. So he agreed and then we kind of put it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So with regards to that question, my own personal example is that actually last night, it's kind of interesting. Claudia and I, we were before we sleep, right, then suddenly she... With too much information. Okay. Suddenly she scooted to my side and said, hey, I'm so happy. You know, we stay in so many houses, but we have always been together. Because you know why? We calculated we married for 28 years. Right? We have shift house 8 times now. And every time we shift house, right, we sell the house, any profit that we make, right, we always tie to God. Every, whatever income that we make from our whatever, we always give to God. And the reason I'm saying this to all of you, right, is not because the church needs your money. I'm just showing you my example. Because to me, I kind of like make it clean cut, right? Like whatever money that comes, either it is retrenchment, hopefully it won't happen to me, huh? Okay, either sales of house or whatever it is, right? To me, right, it's kind of clear cut. 10% belongs to God. I know once we start to maybe I buy now. No lah, I buy then take this money. I go and buy a landed one. Then landed one, the increase is 8%. The condo is 5%. HDB 3%. So I give 20%. Next time can give more. Then I buy a landed one. Then I buy a good class bungalow. Then you think like that. Two things happen. Number one, right, you may never give it. It's like some people always tell me, Pastor, I cannot come to church. I cannot serve God now because I'm working to become the Prime Minister of Singapore. Once I become the Prime Minister of Singapore on National Day, I say, Jesus loves you. Wow, everybody know that Jesus loves him. I say, number one, I don't know whether you become Prime Minister. Number two, if you don't go to church, even if you become Prime Minister, I don't know whether you still remember Jesus loves you. True, right? So I say this is a fastidious thing. Right? I say that. So for me and Claudia, maybe we are simple or simplistic, whatever you call it. It's like 10% belongs to God. Okay, that's how we regulate our lives.
Can I say that it's almost like this 10%, right? You don't touch it. It means it doesn't belong to you to try to grow the thing to become 12%.
That's not my tai chi, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's not my tai chi. That's God's tai chi, right? I mean, I give to God, then the leadership of church, happened to be me again, okay.
Yeah. Oops.
Okay. Whatever, it's not me, the group, right?
Yes.
So it belongs to God, and God will multiply it, man.
I think it's all about stewardship, you know? My responsibility as a steward is to be able to practice the tithing, and I tithe it to the church. Then the church is responsible to steward whatever has been given to the church. Yep. And they will have to account to God for how they are going to utilize the funds.
And you still have to steward the other 90%, right? Correct. That you are not tithing, right?
That's right.
And so
that's exactly right. So it's not just, okay, I've paid my dues and then that's it. Then the rest of the 90% belongs to me.
Yeah.
It's not quite like that. Yeah. I still had to steward the rest of the 90.
But having said that, I live on the side of the world where the number I have in my bank is not huge. But Pastor Benny, I know you mix with people who have the numbers is very huge. All right, I'm not saying they try to play punk or they try to cheat God, but they do have other instruments that they employ to kind of serve for the longer run.
I mean, that's responsible stewardship too. Yeah. That because of the vast amount of money they have to manage, they have to make use of every instrument available. They do.
How about passive, irregular? That means maybe come in unpredictable streams or unrealized income. How should people approach tithing for passive income, irregular income, unrealized income? Like, for example, property, rental, bonuses, shares that appreciate or depreciate, dividends, RSUs, etc.
I think we are only responsible to tithe when it comes to realized income. So if when the renter is received, then you tithe out of that. When a stock is sold, it's realized income, then you tithe out of that. If a dividend has been paid out, then you tithe out of that. So it becomes realized income.
Okay. Realized income means that it's not just like the property price increase or the share price increase.
Not paper profit.
But it's until
paper.
Until you sold it, you sell it, then it becomes realized.
Okay.
And same with company ownership. Until the profit is distributed, it's not realized.
So I know people, right, in our service and elsewhere, that have a lot of different kind of income streams.
Yes.
So they have their employment stream. Some are business owners where every month the income is different. Plus they have passive income streams. Plus they have different stocks and shares, etc. Yeah. Right? They pay out differently. And you need almost an accounting degree to figure out how much to tithe every month, right?
Yeah.
So for people like that, how would you suggest that they approach it in a way that still makes them cheerful? Otherwise, by the time they finish their sums, they're not cheerful anymore.
Actually, you don't need to make it so complicated, really. Because to me, it's not so much the amount at the end of the day, but who am I becoming in the course of my stewardship? You know, it's the disciple that I'm becoming. It's more important than just, you know, have I been technically 10% or 15% or whatever. Yeah, it's not the percentage.
Yeah.
It's the posture, the heart that I think God is looking at.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The next question comes from a retiree. I have been faithfully tithing when I was employed and now I'm retired with substantial saving. What is the right way to steward now? Mm. To start to give it all away, that means draw down from the saving, or to invest the saving and to earn to give it more?
You're more experienced. You're nearer to retiring.
Nearer to it. Yeah. Okay. First of all, if you have reached the point and you end up with a nest egg that is substantial, you are in a good place. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. But being financially savvy, which obviously you have been, if not, you wouldn't be where you are. I'm sure you're not going to stop letting your money work for you, which means to say that you continue to make your money work for you, and therefore you do have income from your investment still that you could tithe from. But having said that, as I get older, I'm beginning to realize this, that it is better to do your giving while you're living. Then you know where it's going. That's the principle. Because sometimes, especially with Chinese mentality, we like to sort of hold everything and then wait until we die, then we will everything to the next generation.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you really don't know what the next generation is going to do with all that. Mm. So I've now come to a place where I think it's better for me to do my giving while I'm living. Then I know where it's going.
Wow.
So I have decided that we can actually go on a graduated giving. That means to say that as I age over the years, I want to liquidate a certain amount apart from the regular income that we tithe from and then we sustain our living. I want to be able to slowly draw down on my saving and help my children now rather than wait until I die. Mm. I help my children now to get their homes. I start to give away more for kingdom purposes so that our money is working for us.
Okay.
And so that's the approach that I've taken at this moment. So the principle that drives it is I want to do my giving while I'm living so that I know where it's going. And I'm so thankful and now that I mix around and move around, I'm so thankful that Christian philanthropy is actually a thing now. It is really growing. And so much wealth is now in the hands of believers. It's incredible. You know, I'm personally associated with two funds that I know, owned by Christians, family offices, and they have literally decided to give away their money in real time for kingdom purposes. There is one fund based in Australia. They have put aside 2.2 billion Aussie dollars to be given away for Christian causes by the year 2030. That's a huge amount of money that they are actually giving for church planting and stuff like that. There's another one based in the US. They're giving away $1 billion US dollars for the sole purpose of church planting. And as I think about all this, I'm so grateful, you know, that God has really stirred the hearts of people who are blessed with means to literally and intentionally distribute their money while they are living to advance the kingdom of God. And I thank God for all that. Praise I hope God. That inspires you as you manage your own finance.
Yeah, because Pastor Benny, your children, right? Because Claudia and I, we don't have children. So we know where we are going, and we also want to know where our money is going. So what we do is that we have our will right out. So after we pass on, we will actually give 10% of whatever we have left to the church for God's work. Mm. So that's what we do. And we are also planning in our lives that the things that we owe after we pass on, how can it be continually generate income and be used for God's kingdom?
Yeah.
So that, you know, we will really be good stewards. Because at the end of the day, Bible says naked we come, naked we will go, right? So whatever things that we accumulate here on earth, right?
Yeah.
I hope it won't end with us. It will be not given to people, you know, what Pastor Ben said is so true, because if we just give to our children, I mean, if they love God, they give to God's kingdom, fantastic. Just give to your children, work hard, give your children, then they just go for a world tour around the world, two times,
squander it,
yeah. Buy a sports car, Ferrari, whatever, bang, then, you know, whatever. So that's that. Cannot bang, I mean, bang as in,
yes,
bang the wall, okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think we've got to be good stewards, right? Yep. The money that we have, then think of such a way that we can pump it on. This is not to, so that, you know, next time when we die, there will be a Jeff and Claudia Chong toilet or whatever for the rest of us. Remember?
Like some kind of plug or memorial?
No. I think it's just that the kingdom of God, because we came with nothing, so whatever we accumulate, so before we go on, we cannot bring to the grave. We also don't want to squander it. Whatever that we accumulate, pass to the next generation. Use whatever God has given to us. Do it. Fulfill the Great Commission. Yeah. You know, love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. Because it's not about me, it's about God.
Yeah.
Even when I'm not around, all these things are still true.
Mm.
Imagine now it's the year 2050, if Jesus hasn't come back, whoever is preaching here, this thing's still true. Yeah. We still want to love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. We wear different clothes. We have different kind of cars. We have different things. But all these are unchanging truth that will last for generation to generation.
Yeah.
So those of us... Now the world is quite different.
Mm.
During my time, a lot of parents give birth to children so that when they grow old, the children support them. But nowadays, parents are very different because parents are more educated, children are more educated. In fact, many parents tell me in church, "Hey, next time Papa take care of you. Next time you grow up, Papa won't give you money, but what you need to do, don't take money from me, Kennedy. You know, just go and do your thing." But sometimes, right, the wrong kind of non-kingdom thinking is to give all our money to our children. Then your children, right, they lost the hunger to succeed, to do just, Papa makes so much money, he put 50 million in the bank. So every month, you know, it's just interest enough. Right? You don't have to do anything. Just open your mouth. We think we do our children a favor, but actually we're doing them a big disfavor. Right? They don't have hunger for anything. They don't want to learn. They don't want to grow. They just want to enjoy, relax, whatever. So, and then it doesn't help them. And it also torpedo the kingdom. So we don't want to do that. So give your children some money, but also funny into the kingdom. You know, Pastor Lawrence Chua is his lawyer, right? He told me this. He always tell his children, say, "Papa has a sum of money kept for you already." All right? So ask your question. You want to receive the money when Papa die, or you want to use your future inheritance today so that Papa, Mama, and you and your wife, we can go holiday together and create memory together? Which one do you want? Yeah. So all the people say, I want to create memory. It's not about the money. It's like right now. Let's use my future inheritance today so that we can create memory together so that when I die, we have good memories and we did life together. So that's it.
Thanks. Okay, we have time for two final questions. The second last question for today. What if I'm not ready to tithe 10% yet? Can I tithe 5% and see how it goes from there? Yeah. Why you laugh? It's a real question.
Actually, tithe by very definition means 10%.
Right. Tithe means a tenth, right?
So if you give 5%, then you have given 5%, but you have not tithed.
Okay.
But if you have even if you give 20%, you have not tithe, but you have given 20%. So by the very definition, tithe means 10%.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to practice tithing, then I will just practice tithing. Just do it, you know.
If I'm not ready for 10%, can I start with 5?
Of course you can. It's better than don't give, right? I think of course you can. But the thing is this, then you're not tithing, like, you're just giving. And that's okay.
Okay. You know?
But having said that, If you are just wondering whether will it work or not, and let me try first and all that, then I encourage you. Actually, no need to try one. It will work. So just go ahead and try it. Right. And then you see see how God will liberate us, you know, when it comes. To me, is when you are able to tithe, right, it's actually quite liberating. Then the money don't hold us anymore. And we are liberated. And then you see how God will bless. That it's more, He really is, cannot be, we cannot outgive the Lord. Yeah. Experience it for yourself.
For me, right, you know, I have strong opinion about many things, some things, right? Like this, to me, right, this is like let's say someone asked me, right, Pastor, when I come to service, right, do I need to worship with all my heart? Of course, I worship all your heart, but I'm not ready. So am I going to recommend you, no need all your heart, you just half mask and you just like the candy. You won't say that. Of course, it's up to you to choose, but we have to tell them that, hey, tithing is tithing. Of course, they will choose either they want to give 1%, 2%, minus 10%, whatever. That's between them and God. But I am not going to be the one to suggest to them that, oh, you're not ready for 10. Hey, do 1% first. Do 2% first. You know, there's this trending word, especially in the Western church, called experiment. Right? We experiment methods, but we never experiment commitment. You see, you don't experiment commitment to God. You say, you come to church, like, okay, you're not ready to worship big first. Okay, you worship half mass, three-quarter mass, and sing softly. No, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that God is worthy. Worship God with all that we have. You know, just really give Him your best. But of course, having thought that, people will progress. I'm saying, I'm not ready yet. But that is your decision. It's not going to be my suggestion to you to do that.
Right. Okay. One final question before we close today. What if I have questions about how the church is spending money? Like, for example, do we really need to have so many regional centers? Do we really need this level of sound system? Do we really need this size of LED screen? Why can't we channel more of the money towards missions? What if I don't agree with how the church is spending money, how does that affect my tithing?
Again, I come back to this, that it is our responsibility as members of the church to faithfully steward our God-given resources, and part of that includes the rendering of our tithe to our local church. And then it becomes the responsibility of the God-appointed pastoral leadership of the church to then steward whatever tithes and offering that you receive as Hope Church. And they will be responsible before God to steward that. So if that is the case, then let's each do our part. We are responsible to tithe. They are responsible to manage the tithing. But if you do have questions, you know, you do need clarification as to why certain things are spent, etc., I think there are existing systems within the church where you could actually request for clarification.
Yeah.
And then you should feel free to make use of those systems where you could ask the questions that you need. And I'm sure the church here will be very transparent and willing to show you whatever accounts that you need to see so that you know how money is being spent. Now, there are many times there could be expenditure like why LED screen? Why not just a projector? Things like that, which has to do with preference and all that. If you need to raise clarification, please do. So that, we see, sometimes we can disagree, but as a principal, we must never disengage. The worst thing to do is that you see something that you don't like, and then you actually disagree in your heart, and then you don't clarify with the relevant people, but instead you talk to each other, or you make it an issue in your cell group or something like that, then what we have done is that we disagree and we don't engage, but we disengage. And then it becomes something unnecessary. But when you actually clarify, you may begin to understand why it's done that way. And now, in the event where you do clarify and then you still cannot agree, but you have already discussed, debated, dialogue, and you still cannot see eye to eye, because a lot of it could be preference based also. It's not right or wrong. It's just whether you prefer A or B. Now, when we really discuss and still cannot come to a common point, then this is where I think we also practice the discipline of submission and to learn to trust the leadership, to hear from the Lord, And then we learn to submit to that. Why? Because it's good for our own soul. The discipline of submission is a beautiful thing that crafts us in our discipleship also. So again, I come back to this idea that giving at the end of the day is not just about technicalities, but it's really about the posture of the heart. So I think there are existing systems. Yeah. Perhaps Pastor Jeff can speak into that. Yeah. Then we can bring clarification.
You know, every year our accounts are being audited. We have AGM, and then we have this, what's the thing called?
AGM?
No, AGM, they have some booklet, what's it called? There's a name to it.
Annual report.
Annual report, yeah. We have annual report that's made available to everyone, a member. Yeah. You know, you want
yes,
to,
members.
I'll suggest if we have questions, I think a good place to start is to talk to your zone leader or talk to your center pastor. We really, what Pastor Benny said, we have questions, we can disagree, but let's never disengage. It's important for us to kind of talk these things through. But what Pastor Benny says, some of the things are really preferences, like for example, seats, you know, why must I have this kind of seat, purple seat, some say too comfortable, they fall asleep, some say not comfortable, some say too small, some say too big, some say people growing bigger right now, so I don't know all this thing. Then some will say, sound system, why use this brand, why not use the brand, LED, and all those things. So there could be a lot of questions. So one of the things I tell the people in the office, right, like, what is good stewardship? Good stewardship is not spending money. That is not good stewardship. Of course, good stewardship is not anyhow spend money. So what is good stewardship? Good stewardship is using God's money to maximize God's kingdom. That's good stewardship, right? Let's say we come to service, the LED not clear, sound no good. I say that's not good stewardship. So many of these things are basically preferences that could be different. And if you want to go down the route, like, hey, why this cushion, why not that cushion, then $2 cheaper, why this color, why not the color, all these things are gong beliao, you know, if not Jesus come back, we'll still be talking. So actually, one question some people tell me, hey, how come go heaven must wear white? Yeah? I like to wear black, I always wear black, right? Then I don't go heaven, and say, up to you, you know. So there are a lot of preferences and all those things. But one of the important things that we got to know is why we do what we do, you know. Like Pastor Claudia and I, what we do on a daily basis, right, is that we will give thanks to God for the things that God has done in our church. Maybe when I talk about dollar and cents, right, we may kind of lose the bigger picture, because right now we are in different centers, we are in different places. But do you all know that even though our church is going to celebrate our 35th anniversary in this coming June, right, during the conference, right? Do you know that our youth ministry, right, more than 70% of the people are first generation Christian? After so many years, more than 70%, because we keep pioneering. Not only the student service here, student service in the north, in the northeast, in the west, in the east, we are continually reaching new people. And do you know that there's a couple in our church right now from this service, they are actually working towards landing in Bahrain. It's kind of interesting. Everybody is scared coming out from Bahrain, but our people, actually, they are doing their very best to go to Bahrain. Why? Because people in Bahrain, people in Middle East, they need Jesus. Do you know that even as we are speaking right now, there's a project going on in South America? We are building a building for our churches in South America, in Chile. Because right now, out of the 12 countries in the continent of South America, we have churches in 7 countries. And we want to build a church. We're going to build a church, I think about 100,000 or 200,000, all right? I know it's quite a lot of money for us, but for this building in South America, you're going to build this building, it's going to last for generations to come. It's a freehold, can sit 300-400 people. So we are investing into all this thing. Why? Because Latinos are important to God. And in this conference, 11 Latinos, they're going to come to Singapore. And we are so excited to kind of host them and really get them to share with our entire church. Do you know that even as you are speaking right now, about 200 people, I cannot say the country because this is recorded, 200 people is meeting in an undisclosed country right now having conference. Last year, it was 150 people. Now, 200 over people. And out of the 18 provinces, we have already planted churches in 3 or 4 provinces already. And the leader of, one of the leaders in that group is only 21 years old. He was persecuted. He went to jail because of his faith. I think one of his uncle, one of his friends was killed because of his faith. So we are doing all these things because people really, really, really need Jesus. So that is why we do what I do. That's why we're not funding buildings, we're not planting centers for center sake, we're not having purpose seed and all these things. All these things are a means to an end. What is the end? The end is to fulfill the Great Commission. The end is to love is to love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. That's why we do what we do. That's why I said that even for myself, when I plan, right, after Pastor Claude and I we die and pass on from this earth, right? All the money we want to accumulate to fill this vision, because we really believe this vision to the tip of our toes. Now, let me end with a story as we all stand together. Come. Let me end with a story and then we'll worship God, right? The church is such a powerful instrument, you know. The church is such an important thing. Last Saturday, I was here because in the earlier part of last Saturday morning, we had a meeting with some of the higher capacity givers in our church. So the people who came, you know, we had fun together. We talked, and it was wonderful to meet some of the people who have been in church for a long time. I've not seen many of you for a long time, and sometimes some of you seen me. And then the first thing when I saw you is that I'll say, "Hey, you're still in church, ah?" And then I say, "Yeah, yeah." Then some people joke back to me, "Hey, you also still in church?" I say, yeah, I'm still in church." I say, "I'm not seeing you." Then they'll say, "I see you always on video." I say, okay, go in now. So after that meeting, we talked to the high capacity giver, right? We talked to the high capacity giver. Then it was quite a long meeting. So after that, I was downstairs, Techstart Center, about to head home, right? Then I saw this young boy, right? He's a special need boy. He has been in our church since he was in Hope Kids. So when I first met him, he was like that tall, special need. Then last week when I saw him, he was that tall already, you know. Still the same face, still the same thing. So I saw the parent. I asked, "Hey, how come you're here? Today's Saturday, you all come early for church?" He said, No, I'm bringing my son. Today got shine service. So my son really enjoyed the shine service and all those things. So, "Hey, you come here. So when I met this young man, I haven't seen him for a long time, so he's taller than me. So I did this, right? I said, "Hey, he's special need boy, special need person." I said, "Hey, so good to see you. And I really meant with all my heart. And then he began to get excited. He said, "La, la, 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 la." And then he did this to me. I won't do it on you, but he said, "La, la, 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 la." Then he right downstairs. Texas Center. And then his parents say, Pastor Kanakis. I tell you, I don't have much experience being kissed by men, okay? But that was the best one. And I hope the only one. That was the best one. And then I walk across, I go and get my car, and then I was driving home, you know. And I couldn't help but have tears in my eyes, because in the earlier part of the day, I met all the high capacity givers, and you know, they are wearing casual, but because they are high capacity, so they even when they are wearing casual, you know, they dress well and all those things. So I went down there and I saw this special need boy who saw me. He was so excited, he kissed me and all those things. So when I was driving home, I said, "Wow, this is church, you know. That's why we give to the church. That's why we do what we do." Because it's not just about dollars and cents. If we leave this meeting thinking you're going to go back and calculate, sometimes people ask me very deep questions, and you know, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. You know, they ask me, "Hey, Pastor, tie must give net or give gross. Pastor, CPF, must give." I say, "Wow, too cheap, there." I say, "You just give, like, you give whatever you want to give. It's too cheap." So if you leave this meeting thinking about, "Wow, this 10%, 5%, blah, blah, blah," you can think about those things. But if those were the only thoughts that you have in your head, right, I think you missed the whole point. God no need your money. God really no need your money. Some of the pastors say, "Hey, the church, right, we cannot talk about money to the people, because you talk about money, people will think that you talk to them about money because you want their money." I said, "No, nonsense. I want to talk to you about money. Money is neutral. If you don't want to give, then don't give. It's okay. God no need your money. Really, God is not begging. I'm a pastor, I'm not a beggar to long give you. I no need your money. You give for your own sake. You don't give for my sake. You give so that you can be released from the grip of greed, from the fear of not having enough. When you give money, it's not about dollar and cent. It's what that money represents. It represents our worship to God. We give our all to God. What is money? One life and soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ, only what's given to Christ's cause will last forever. So let's lift our hands right now. Come, people. Let's come to a place. Let's lift our hands. Let's open our mouth. Let's begin to thank God that God has given us this ability to give. Shall we do that right now? Come, let's lift our hands. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Shikala bahade beheda bahamba. Shikala bahade beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda bahade beheda bahamba baba. Shike baba kada bahande la bahade beheda bahar baba kada bahade beheda baham baba baba baba. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Shike la bahade beheda baham baba la bahande beheda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege to be able to partner with you to build your church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our spiritual family. Let's worship God. closed, every head is bowed. I know we do this a lot in our church, but today I want to just take a pause. In a moment's time, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to dare you to come before the Lord and say, God, oh, I give my life to you, Lord. I surrender, Lord. It's not just my treasure, my time, my talent, my whole life. It belongs to you. In view of God's mercy, I want to offer up my life as a living sacrifice before you. So as every eye is closed, every head is bowed. No one moving, no one looking, no one talking. Don't just lift up your hands because it's the right thing to do, but do it with intentionality. Do it as we mean it in our heart. As much as we know how, we say, God, this is all that I have. This is my life, Lord. I entrust it into your hands. You are a good God. You love me. You give me more than enough, Lord, to live a godly life, to make a difference for you. So if this is you, when I count to three, I want you to lift up your hands to the Lord. It's a sign of surrendering to God. Either here in Axis or anywhere around in the different centers, when I count to three, just lift up my hands and just commit to God together. One, two, three. Lift up my hands. Lift up my hands to the Lord. 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 Would you just pray? Would you just pray right now? Father, we just pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift our hands to you, oh God. Lord, you look at all these hands that have been raised, God. We offer our lives to you, Lord. As much as we know how, Lord, we give you our all, Lord, our best. Our best because of your best. Lord, you love us so much. Lord, we offer up our life, our time, our talent, our treasure. All that we have belongs to you, Lord. Use it to build your church, to build your kingdom, oh God, such that your name and your name alone will be glorified. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Every eye is closed, every head bowed. There's some of us here today. The truth about us is that we do not yet know Jesus. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make in your life is to know Jesus. So if you are here today, you say, Pastor, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have all my sins cleanse away so that I can have a right standing before the Lord. So if this is the cry of a heart in a moment's time, I'm going to lead you to pray this prayer. This prayer is a prayer specially designed for those of us who are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. So if this is you, I'd like to invite you to pray together with me. Those of you who are already Christian, would you pray together with us? Would you pray me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
One more time. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen, amen, amen.